Today's scripture is found in the Gospel of Luke, the fourth chapter, verses 14 down through verse 21. Listen to God's word. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus begins his ministry by teaching. He begins by sharing and reaching out to the folks with what God's word says, and the inspiration that that word should bring to us. I want you to understand first what the custom of the synagogue was. The synagogue didn't have what you would call as a pastor or have some form of clergy. You see, any synagogue could be put up where there were at least 10 men to establish a synagogue. And once that synagogue was established, synagoge, which actually just means to gather together, is all it means. There's no fancy word about anything. It's a place where the people could gather together and they could listen to God's word and they could hear an interpretation of it. And people in the synagogue took turns doing that. So it was not any one person's job for each week to bring a word from God and to explain an interpretation of that word. Jesus takes his turn reading and interpreting the scriptures. It's Jesus' turn as he comes to the synagogue that day. And he takes his turn for reading the scripture and for interpreting it to the people. Now, there might also be a time where people would respond to what he shares. And if you read on in this passage, you find out that's exactly what happens. And that was a normal thing in the synagogue. It was normal for people to gather together, listen to the word, hear one person's interpretation from it, and then basically have a discussion afterwards. The synagogue was not a very formalized. They would have prayers. They would have prayers that were memorized that they would share each week. But most of it would be centered around this scripture. An attendant was there that would gather together the scrolls that they had. They didn't have books. It would have been scrolls. And we know that this synagogue has a copy of the book of Isaiah, or the scroll of Isaiah. All of them, probably all synagogues, probably would have had a copy of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But this synagogue also had a copy of Isaiah. The attendant brought that forward and he gave it to Jesus since it was his turn. The seating in the synagogue would have been a large central area and seats around three sides. With that central area left open And Jesus stands to read the scripture. And it says that what he does is he opens the scroll that's handed to him. And he finds the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord." And it says that he rolls the scroll back up and he gives it back to the attendant. And the attendant would take that scroll and would put it away. At this point, Jesus would sit down, not stand to teach, not stand to interpret the scripture, but he would sit down. And that was their custom in their day. Jesus happens to read the passage for that day that speaks about his role in God's kingdom. The passage that Jesus speaks that day and reads is about his role in God's kingdom. It speaks very deeply about who he is, what he has come to do, and how he has come to interact in that world. Now, I want you to notice what it says. It says he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. They could not wait to hear his interpretation. They could not wait to hear what he had to say about the scripture. I wonder what it would be like for us to do the same here. For a different person each week to stand up and read the scripture and bring their understanding and their interpretation. I know for many of you that would be extremely fearful. "Pastor, don't look to me to do that." But I guess what I want to say is we should know our scriptures well enough that we could do that. If you know your scriptures well enough and deep enough, we could have the same kind of custom as they had here, that it was someone else's turn each week to stand up and read and to sit and bring an interpretation. People's eyes are fastened upon Jesus, and this passage talks about who he is. It says that God's Spirit anoints Jesus to proclaim freedom and to help people recover. God's Spirit anoints him to do this, to proclaim freedom and to help people recover. Now, to proclaim freedom in the midst of our country right now means a whole lot, but it also means a whole lot of different things to a lot of people. I want you to listen to what it says again as I read this passage one more time. Jesus says, as he reads from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." That Spirit has anointed him and covered him, prepared him, and helped him to speak what he's going to speak. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." I would venture to say that very few of us know what it means to be a prisoner, but we all have been prisoners of sin. We all have failed to sin at times. And we've been held a prisoner by that until we were willing to come to Jesus Christ and accept him as our Savior and our Lord. We were all prisoners. And he's coming to release them by proclaiming to them the good news. In the New Testament, good news is also interpreted gospel. Same word. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, One of the things that I think is happening in a large way in the midst of our country right now is people are actually blind to the truth. Satan has come along and has blinded them to what the truth is for salvation, but has also blinded them to what the truth is in many different ways, and is keeping them from living the truth and keeping them from understanding the truth. And Jesus says what? He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What if I were to stand before you today and tell you that this year, 2022, is the year of the Lord's favor? Amen? This is the year of the Lord's favor upon you. This is the year that God will bring you blessings upon blessings upon blessings, even in the midst of the most horrible things that can happen. The problem is sometimes we only master on looking at the horrible things, don't we? I've caught myself already this morning doing that. Instead of paying attention and being present to where I am and what needs to be going on right now, I'm already thinking about things that I need to get done this week. And what does that do? It steals my attention from the blessings that God wants to bring me right now, because my attention's on something else. And Jesus stands before them and he says, I'm here to proclaim to you the year of the Lord's favor. No matter what happens to you this year, this is the year of God's favor upon you as a believer in Jesus Christ. That means today blessings will be poured down upon you in fabulous ways. Blessings will be poured down upon you tomorrow as you get up. It doesn't matter how cold it is. Blessings come. Amen? Amen. I know some, I'm watching, some of you are sitting there with coats on, and who said it? Where's D? D said we're going to start putting quilts in the pews for you. Didn't you tell me that this morning? Hallelujah, amen. That brings up one memory that I have from being in seminary. Quite wonderfully, one of our seminary professors brought in a bunch of people who graduated the year before us and said, today, this was preaching class, by the way, he said, today, instead of talking about preaching and centering on preaching, he said, I've arranged for these people to come in because I want them to share with you what seminary did not teach them about being a pastor that they needed to know. In effect, what have you learned in the past year since you graduated from seminary and you went and became a pastor? And one guy immediately was, I got it. He said, seminary never taught me about the theology of the thermostat. And then he proclaimed that he's going to begin every service by meeting people at the door when they came in and ask them, are you on blood thinners? Here's your quilt. Go sit down. I've always laughed about that because the theology of the thermostat depends. It becomes a very important thing. If for half of you in here it was warm enough today, for the other half of you it's probably either too warm or not warm enough. You never get it right. And that's why I say, whether you're cold or not right now, the blessings of God and the favor of God is flowing down upon you. Are you paying attention to that? Are you seeing that? And when we see that and understand that, and Jesus says, this is the year of the Lord's favor. Now, put a very today on this scripture, haven't I? But look at what happened. Jesus read the scripture. He rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant. The attendant takes the scroll and puts it away. Jesus sits down. Their eyes are fastened upon him, waiting for an interpretation and an understanding that he can bring to them about this very scripture. And he says one sentence. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That's his full interpretation on that scripture. If you read on into the passage, it says they spoke well of him, and then they started kind of debating amongst themselves. Don't we know this guy? This is Joseph's son. How'd he get so smart? Is basically what they're saying. And they're kind of going back and forth, and Jesus says, let me tell you the truth. A prophet never can have any honor in his hometown. Yeah, Jerry, that is true. If I went back to my hometown to be a pastor, there'd be people that I grew up with that would say, I don't know you should believe him. You ought to, let me tell you the stories I know about him from high school. There's a difference. But the only interpretation that Jesus gives to this scripture is today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I want you to know the today of Jesus' interpretation is active in our day. The today of Jesus' interpretation is active in our day. It has not changed. It's not a day far off in the future. It's a day that has continued from Jesus' time until now, and now we need to be people who are out there telling folks the good news. That they can recover. That they can be unoppressed. We need to be out there proclaiming to people the year of the Lord's favor. Not God frowning upon them because they're sinners. I honestly believe that most folks, not all, I know this, not all, but most folks know and understand that they're sinners. And I can't tell you how many church folks even I've heard on their deathbed say, I know I'm a sinner, I hope God will accept me. And I just look at him and say, you've been to church for how many years and you're still hoping that God will accept you? At what point in your life did you accept Jesus Christ? And have you not believed the promises that he has brought to you about the good news, about recovery, about being set free from sin, about God's favor upon you? That today is still active. It has not changed. As little Christ, we should also live into the same role as Jesus. As little Christ, we should also live into the same role as Jesus. Now, some of you might be uncomfortable with me saying, as little Christ. That's what the word Christian means. That's why the people were called Christian in the very beginning. Because it was a derogatory term first, where people were saying, look at them. They think they're little Christ. And the Christians took that word on to say, yes, That's who we're supposed to be. In the midst of this world, we're to be little Christ. We're to be reflecting Him that others people can see. Wednesday night business conference, I challenged people to be about this very thing. Finding the unchurched people around us that need to know Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be centering upon. That's what we need to be doing each day of our lives, is trying to find and influence and help and encourage and inspire the unchurched folks to become Christians. It's not our job to go out there and try to convert people in other churches to come here. That's not our job. And in my role as pastor, I call that sheep stealing. They're already sheep. They're already following Jesus Christ, and they're doing it in the midst of another congregation, and I don't see anything wrong with that. Folks, we need to be out there trying to find the unchurched folks. Those folks who have yet to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'll never give up my whole life. I've just recently turned 60, but I'll never give up my whole life thinking what a crime it was that nobody told me about Jesus Christ until I was 18. And I realize that there are other people out there like that. And I also realize that there's plenty of churches, and it's very easy for somebody to say, how do they not know? They don't know because nobody ever told them. They don't know because nobody ever explained to them. They don't know because somebody didn't come and say, this is the year of the Lord's favor upon you and your family. And God brings you good news and proclaims that you can be set free from sin. And God proclaims that you will never be oppressed by it again. At the business conference, I challenge folks. We've got to find the unchurched people in this community. Now, in one way, it's not too hard. When you drive to church on Sunday mornings, look at all the cars that are still in the driveways. There's a pretty good indication that might be an unchurched person. I've had people tell me before, Pastor, I don't know any unchurched folks. Everybody I know goes to church. The longer that you're a Christian, the less people that you know that are unchurched, because you center and you surround yourself by other Christians. That's not what we're here for. We're here to help the unchurched folks. Jesus said what? Today is the day. Now is the time. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, in your presence, while you've listened. Are we being little Christ? Or are we only looking for the year of the Lord's favor for ourselves? That should be a question you should be able to easily answer. Are you trying to bring the year of the Lord's favor to other people? Are you trying to help them see that? That God has incredible blessings for them? I got to age 18 before anybody told me, I will bet you. I don't know, I'm a pastor, maybe I shouldn't be about betting. But I'll bet you that there are 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 years old out there that don't know how to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior yet. And we're letting them go about their lives without knowing about the most important thing of all, that Jesus Christ came to save them, that Jesus Christ came to release them, that Jesus Christ came so that they might never be oppressed again. Folks, are we making this about us and about our institution of this church? Or are we making it about what Jesus wants us to make it about? Reaching the unchurched folks in our community. They're there. I had one lady one time tell me, "I don't know anybody that's unchurched. Everybody I know goes to church." And I came this close to saying something to her. "You've complained to me about how horrible your neighbors are I don't know how many times. I'm guessing because of the way you talk about them, they don't go to church. But you just told me they must." Folks, they're there. We need to open our eyes. Go home and read the rest of this passage in Luke chapter 4. Jesus didn't fare well. Not at all. They didn't like what he had to say. Even though it was a promising, over-enlightening, wonderful thing, they didn't like it. Let me read to for you at the end of this passage what happens. "All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff." But I love verse 30. "But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way." I'm going to tell you what. If we get out there and find the unchurched folks and talk to them about Jesus Christ, some of them are going to want to throw us off the cliff. It's going to happen. If it happened to my Savior, why should it not happen to me? He's God. And they said, "We're going to grab a hold of God and we're going to throw God off the cliff because we don't want God anymore." Will they not do the same to a disciple of Jesus Christ? Folks, just get over that part. It's going to happen. But as we go out there and talk with the unchurched folks, some of them will realize that they need to accept Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. And as it says in the Gospels, all the angels in heaven rejoice when one comes to accept Jesus Christ. Isn't it time that we caused an incredible party in heaven to start? Isn't it time that we keep the angels so busy partying? Isn't it time? I can honestly tell you this. If we don't find the unchurched people and help them come to Jesus Christ, this church will slowly diminish. And at one point in time, it'll never exist if we're not about finding the unchurched folks. Which part of the role of Jesus is God asking you to partake at this time? Which part of the role of Jesus is God asking you to partake at this time? I just want to address one thing before we close. I know some of you will tell me, they'll know I'm a Christian by the way I live. I won't need to talk about it. Couldn't Jesus Christ have said that and never had to talk? And if God's self, felt it necessary to speak about salvation, about being saved, about having eternal life, we cannot proclaim that I don't need to talk about it. Because God felt the very need to talk about it. Are you going to be a little Christ? Or are you just going to pretend and hope you get the year of the Lord's favor without any responsibility? Folks, they're out there. And the sad thing is, they're dying and going to hell because people aren't telling them. Let's pray. Lord, it is true that we want to be people who find your favor, who find every blessing that you pour down upon us. But Lord, the truth is, you do that so that people can see how powerful you are. And how much you love and care for the people of this world. So that others can see your mighty and incredible hand. Lord, may you open our eyes. That we might be able to see those who are poor and those who are prisoners, those who are blind, especially to spiritual ways, and those who are oppressed. That we might share with them the incredible blessing we found in Jesus Christ because somebody shared with us. So guide us this week. Help us to see those unchurched people and to make a difference in their lives by sharing with them about Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.